Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee. Remember to use the promo code DNVR25. You'll get 25% off your entire purchase of that CBD infused, deliciously rich, and potentially life-altering Strava Craft Coffee. I'm your host, Drew Kreisman. I'm the managing editor of DNVR Rockies. With me, as always, is beat writer Patrick Lyons. And on this episode, gonna do a quick little preview of the Rockies game tonight, a little bit of looking forward to this Brewers matchup, and then we're gonna take a look around the rest of the league, get y'all caught up on the goings on of Major League Baseball. If you haven't necessarily been taking it all in, been a little more focused on the Rockies or not watching baseball because you were really paying more attention to basketball and hockey as of late, and you need to get all caught up, we're gonna be here for you. We'll let you know what the kind of lay of the land is so far. But Patrick, the red hot Colorado Rockies riding a four game win streak into this one at home here. So I've got a few rapid fire questions just for tonight's game, because again, this is going to go up like right before the game. So it's going to be old news. You're going to be able to grade us here on these rapid fire questions for a lot of you. Some of you hardcore people are going to get this in just in time, and you're amazing. But let's start with, do they make it five?
They can they? They can't. Against Corbin Burns, they can't, right? Can they? That's wild.
Surely not. It must, surely it must not. End here. Yes? Surely not.
It would have to be. Again, Corbin Burns has been one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, not even just the National League, not just the NL Central. Like, we're talking the world. And his command has been fantastic. And sure, you say, well, isn't this conversation and the argument against it that, well, look what happened to Brandon Woodruff. He gave up the first grand slam of his career, you know, on Thursday night. You go, wait, he had never done that? Had never done that, right? Yeah. Hadn't given up more than three runs since, I think, June of 2019. So if Burns is a clone in a sense of Brandon Woodruff, wouldn't history, you know, repeat itself? No. Yeah, it's but Woodruff ended up shutting it down immediately thereafter, and he gave the Brewers some really good length before he got to a bullpen of guys you don't really know. But again, that's baseball, right? Yeah. It's a bullpen of guys you don't really know, except right. The A's. The A's right. Have half guys you don't know and half guys that go, oh, this guy's still around. Joachim Soria, like they bring in those old guys and they end up, you know, salvaging their career a little bit. So it can't possibly continue. They can't be this good this much in a row, right?
I would suspect you're right, but it's been quite a ride. So that's the other half of this same question, I guess, is will Corbin Burns give up a season high in runs scored? It doesn't necessarily have to be. Do we know what that is? I was going to say, let me double check what it is real quick. I would assume like four would get it done.
Yeah, he's been very good, you know, this entire year, and was kind of, you know, sneaky good last year. You know, Woodruff, as we talked about with our guy Drew Goodman, you know, he was really blown up on the scene last year. And I mean, Burns was doing it out of the bullpen against the Rockies in 2018, if you remember, during the postseason. So he's, again, long gone under the radar. But as far as this year's goes, he did give up four runs against Miami at home at – well, it's not Miller Park anymore. It's now –
No, I did the same thing the other day.
American First American Family
– Families?
American Family Field, yes. I'm conflating that with some things going on in my personal life with proper names. But, yeah, did give up four runs on April 26th at home against Miami. Also at home on May 25th, a month later, six innings, four earned runs. And even his last start wasn't so great, but the Brewers were able to come away with a victory. So, you know, he's been really solid.
I'll ask you this then. Can the Rockies match that? Can they put four on them?
No. Okay, no.
Yeah,
And again, you look at his away numbers. These are things we can't explain, right? And we kind of can't explain the Rockies being able to win at home and I'm going to go the opposite. Yet, I'm going to go with the numbers for Corbin Burns on the road. I'm picking and choosing here, of course. On the road, Corbin Burns in three starts has a one ERA. He's given up exactly two earned runs. He's only given up one home run, walk, 28 strikeouts on the road. That's, again, one of those weird, inexplicable things. Home is when you're supposed to pitch best. Yet it's on the road for him. So it's hard to bet against Corbin Burns right now. It's really hard.
It really is. It really, really is. I think this goes one of two ways. He either gets Brandon Woodruff a little bit, and then the Coors narrative really does get kind of out of control, and whatever. Fine, I'll take it. It'll be hilarious. Or the more likely scenario, which is I think he comes out and dominates, and the Rockies kind of run, you know, is halted here a little bit. And not to say they couldn't immediately get hot tomorrow and go on another one as well, starting at least at home. But we've said it so many times in so many different contexts on this podcast, starting pitching is ultimately what wins out. That's the most important thing on any given day. And he's just very, very good.
This thought just came to me, Drew.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do some digging around. Might be fodder for an article. It might be something just for anyone listening to this now live or who's going to go ahead and listen to it at some point this weekend as you run around to do your errands. Dig up those numbers. Maybe you can be the next Nathaniel Sunshine, super statistician, right, or a guy, Noah, who's been doing some great works behind the scenes.
Right.
A lot of pitchers in the National League, more than half of them, have not pitched at Coors Field since 2019.
Yeah.
So there's very much could be something to the case of Brandon Woodruff saying, I know what it's supposed to be. Yeah, I know the scouting report. But it took him an inning, I think, to feel the effects and impact and to see it for himself and go, crap, I forgot. So it would be interesting to look at the numbers of NL West pitchers. And again, we did just see what the Padres did, and it was lackluster. It didn't get entirely shelled, but it was lackluster.
Darvish is always bad, of course.
Yeah. And you say, all right, well, they should have known better. Okay, that's fine. But I would love to see, you know, anyone that's from the NL West or AL Central who came to pitch. Again, throw out the A's. A's did travel to Colorado last year. Same thing with the Astros. For those that don't recall, in the 2020 Rangers pandemic season, it was West against West. So that was who played each other. So this is the first time the Brewers have been back to Coors Field since they were swept at the end of the 2019 season. And because of that sweep, the Cardinals were able to sneak in, win the NL Central. So they went on to the division series, whereas the Brewers were forced to participate in the wild card game where they were knocked out by the eventual World Series champs, Washington Nationals. So since then, since 2019, the Brewers have not had a victory. In fact, it wasn't since, I think, 2018. Wasn't since they knocked the Rockies out of the playoffs. And so it's, sometimes truth is stranger than fiction, right? Reality has a way of telling these stories that you couldn't quite make up.
Yeah, it's what were the odds? Absolutely wild stuff there. A couple more before we get into our look around the league for tonight's ball game. Raimel Tapia carrying a 14-game hitting streak. Does he make it 15?
Definitely.
Corbin Burns going to be a tough customer. He's probably not going to pitch the entire baseball game. And we do know that Tapia's had the ability. He makes the same normal contact against elite-level pitching as he does anybody else. So what do we think?
Yeah, I definitely think he does. I was looking on DraftKings to see if there would be a wager on him. And the fact that there isn't, that you don't have the ability to do that, means he's right in between that half a hit and one and a half hit, which means DraftKings is almost essentially saying he's guaranteed he's going to get a hit tonight.
Probably
is he going to get two, though? It's hard to say. So you know what? That's one where you take off and make a friendly bet with your buddies where it's like, yeah, it's pretty much a lock that he is going to get a hit. I like to see him do it early on, too, if he's going to get an opportunity to do it off Burns, because with some of these guys, we know they haven't been going very long, right? You might not get a third time through the lineup, but for guys who have not experienced Coors Field in quite a while, You got to hit them early before they realize, oh, that's right, I got to do things a little differently. They felt it in the bullpen session, right? They should have seen that a little bit, that change ever so slightly. But I imagine you go, yeah, but I mean, how much can that be taken advantage of? Because guys haven't been able to do it off me all year. That doesn't work. That type of thinking does not work at Coors Field, especially this season, and especially the way the Rockies have been playing at home.
Yeah, I thought, you know, he was a big part of getting that whole thing started against Woodruff with the leadoff double, you know, those kinds of things. I'm very excited to obviously breaking news. I'm excited to watch Ryan Montapia play baseball, but it those are the kinds of matchups where you go, this guy's got elite level sinker. That's very difficult for guys to square up. And we live in an era where squaring it up is the whole game for a lot of guys. And we know that the tap kind of takes this different approach, and it will, you know, we've talked about, is there an ultimate, you know, course correction just in baseball overall for guys who put the ball in play, and can they be answers to these sort of super pitchers like Burns who have emerged, and now we get to see it. It's like philosophy on display in front of us. So it's going to be fantastic. Last one before we go around the league, Ryan McMahon sitting there with 16 home runs. Can he get another one? Will he hit 17 tonight?
It's tough. It's been a few days. He looked pretty solid at the plate yesterday, even though he wasn't able to get a hit. Kind of think got jobbed a little bit in the strike zone. Did go down looking in his final AB. That's hard. That's a very good question. He's at
it's
home.
It's so easy to take the no, right? It's so easy to just say, well, no, any individual game, betting right against a guy to hit a home run, good bet. But he's been feeling a little extra all-star-y lately, hasn't he? Like a big, like a little, you know, even if they don't really get to Burns, but, you know, Topps starts the game off with a little oppo double. I think actually McMahon's batting fifth, so it'd be tough for him to homer him in from there. But, you know, they get a little base hit out in front of him. He goes down and gets one of those sinkers like he did to another really good sinker ball pitcher, Aaron Nola, earlier in the year. McMahon got him. You know, one of those things hangs over the plate just a little bit more. He's got that left-handed swing that's built to go down and get underneath a sinker and just pop it up over that right field wall. So
he's been pretty leveled, you know, between home and on the road with nine homers at Coors, seven of their 16 road homers, just thanks to the old RIMAC there. And, you know, I think one of the biggest elements too tonight is going to be the fact that you did not see Josh Hader deployed by the Brewers. So they're leaving him waiting in the weeds. I think that's going to be the guy that they're going to be saving him for. Hobie Milner was fine last night. Brent Suter is a fantastic left-hander as well, kind of a spot starter, long reliever type guy. So they're going to have their options. And if you know, anyone's going to beat the Brewers, Ryan McMahon's the guy. But again, it just keeps coming back to this entire team chipping in and doing things, right? And I think it's you can't on the road. I think you probably can target Ryan McMahon as the guy that you want to make sure doesn't beat you. That's if Charlie Blackman's not super hot, then you do need to be more cautious with him. If Trevor Story's being Trevor Story, you do have to be a little bit cautious there. But I'm going to say no, because I think we're going to see McMahon with at least half of his at-bats tonight come against left-handed pitchers.
That's a great point that you made about Hader and stuff. So, yeah, I think it's going to be tough for him out there. Hey, and if you don't want it to be tough for you down there, then got to get manscaped. Fellas, look, it's time. It's well past time. If you haven't done it, you don't need to feel weird about it. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing weird. In fact, it's going to make you feel better. Going to make you feel cleaner. You're going to smell better. And anyone who's taking care of you is really going to appreciate it. Get Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com. Use promo code DNVR20. You'll get 20% off plus free shipping. They're the best tools for your family jewels, the Lawnmower 4.0, get you nice and trimmed up. Then they got various spritzers and deodorants and all kinds of smelling good stuff. They've got some of the most comfortable pairs of boxers you've ever worn in your life. I put in a few extra orders for some of those because they're my favorite underwear I've ever, ever, ever had. You got to take care of yourself, and then yourself will be taken care of. That's how it works. I promise you. So go to manscaped.com. Use promo code DNVR20 to get 20% off plus free shipping. And while you're feeling good, maybe save a little bit of money by going over to our friends at Gabby Insurance. It's GABI.com/DNVR. Stands for Get a Better Insurance, and that's why it's easy to remember. You go there, you spend less than 10 minutes, you just put in a little bit of information, and boom, you've got a whole list of quotes that'll show you exactly how much money you're going to save on the year. For me, it's $480, but that was just on car insurance. Our guy Eric Weedham, a car and house and scooter and a couple other things, was able to save over $1,000 for the year. You can do something better with that money. I'm sure there's a lot of things that you can think of that you can do with, on average, $961 a year for the customers. You can do something better with that money than giving it to insurance companies. Go to gabi.com/DNVR and find out exactly how much you can save. There's no obligation. It costs you nothing. No text messages, no emails, none of that annoying crap. Just more money in your wallet and or bank account. I promise you won't be disappointed. Go to gabi.com/DNVR.
And then go ahead and reinvest that money today on DraftKings Sportsbook, because there are some interesting lines here.
Yeah.
Now, Ryan McMahon is at +375 to homer tonight. But you know who has better odds? And I have no idea why, because he's never faced Antonio Senzatella. Shortstop Willy Adames.
Yes. Seems like a matchup to take him deep, huh?
Apparently, according to DraftKings, I wouldn't expect that. They've never faced each other. Charlie Blackman's at +450. You got to like that one. Raimel Tapia is at +775. And you know why? You probably should put some cheddar on that, because the last time I had this kind of weird feeling of what are the odds on this, it was when Josh Fuentes was at a +1,000. I think it was opening weekend against the Dodgers, and he homered. I didn't necessarily think he was going to homer, but I was just surprised by how high the odds were.
Yeah.
And if they're going to give you Tapia at that price,
at 770,
at 775, even Daza's 775. So if you prefer that, I definitely would go Tapia.
You go Tapia, because Daza has the one home run in his career, and it was nice and it was great. And that's exactly the pitch that Daza has to get to hit a home run on. And that's the only home run he's capable of hitting. Tap almost went yard to left center the other day. Did you see that? I thought for a second, like, no way, because Corey Sullivan would have owed me. I probably shouldn't say what, but I was like, no. If he goes out to that part of the park, I'm not sure he can, because I think that's about as close as he's going to get. But Tap's got 5 homers on the year. You know, he's gone oppo yard. I believe he's gone oppo yard at Coors Field once before, not to like left center, but like straight down the line. He's usually got to pull it to get it out. But I like that. I like those long odds, because I feel like he's due for one. We know that every once in a while he'll take that shot, as it were. He'll take his opportunity, especially if it's a low scoring game. If Senzatella is pitching well to match Corbin Burns, we expect to pitch well. That's when Tapia starts, you know, when he comes up in the fourth or sixth inning and it's 0-0 or it's 1-1, he will try to hit a home run. Oh, I like that bet. I might throw down a fiver on Tap to go yard tonight.
That's it, right? That's a good one. And then even stranger, and I guess I do understand why the price and the payout would be so low on Tapia to say no. But I mean, again, anytime you get long odds on that, you've got to take it. Even if you're only throwing a buck down, that's absolutely a fun one. And if you're going to the game, even more so, you're doing something like that to see your boy get a hit, because you know he's going to get a hit. DraftKings pretty much all but told you, because you can't bet on whether or not he's going to get one hit or two hits. That's not an option tonight.
Amazing. Amazing stuff.
Even right, Jace Peterson. Jace Peterson, who is a basically a bench player because the Brewers are struggling so much right now with players on the IL. And Colton Wong actually did just get activated today. He's batting leadoff for the Brewers. So I figure it's going to take him a bit to heat up. But if anybody can, it's going to be someone doing it at Coors Field. But even a guy like Jace Peterson, if he were to play in today's game, he's at over 1.5. So that's a little bit baffling. And Ryan McMahon is at the line is at over 1.5. So again, is he going to get a hit tonight? I think so.
I like McMahon to get
minus 225. Yeah, there's definitely some options tonight. The payouts and the odds are a little bit strange, but there are definitely some opportunities for the taking. Might not be a huge payout, but there's some definite gimmies going on right now for total hits.
Yeah, I like those. All right, good stuff. Let's take a look now around the league. We'll start in the neighborhood. We'll begin in the NL West, and we'll begin in the cellar. And you might think, hey, haven't we been talking about the team that's in the cellar of the NL West this entire time? In fact, isn't this podcast and live show here on YouTube built entirely around the team that is in the cellar in the National League West? Not even close. Like, what's wild, the Arizona Diamondbacks have now lost their last 14 consecutive baseball games. Wow. They've lost 23 in a row on the road. They have 9 fewer victories than the Rockies overall and 9 more losses. Their winning percentage is .286 at 20-50. They are comfortably in the cellar, almost 10 full games behind the Colorado Rockies in the NL West. 9 of them they are.
And that's because the Diamondbacks know how to lose better than their game plan was on point. Now, granted, they weren't tanking because I thought they were fourth place team. And again, there's a lot of season left, but what the heck is going on, right? What is going on for this team that has not won on the road since Madison Bumgarner didn't throw a no-hitter? I think I'm saying that right. They've been struggling. They are going to get Zach Gallen back from the IL soon. That's obviously going to be a huge piece. Good. We know they're going to be sellers. They've been
very injured. That has been a part of it.
Yeah.
Michaela, who we were hoping to see back before too long, and we know has her ties to the area and is feeling it for everybody there right now, was reminding me that they've been absolutely decimated by injury. A lot of teams have been hurt. The Diamondbacks probably more than anybody else, though. But still, I mean, when you're already not a super talented team and you take these kinds of injuries and then on pace to lose 115 games.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Bumgarner is hurt right now. Luke Weaver, another one of their starters who hasn't entirely developed as much as you would have hoped. I know Merrill Kelly has struggled a little bit. They've had to insert Matt Peacock into the rotation. He's been fine. Tyler Clipper and Chris Devensky, two guys that they were really counting on in their bullpen, have also been hurt. So, and Cole Calhoun, Mr. Headbutt himself, is on the IL. So they've been scrapping, and even their guys that they've been counting on, like Christian Walker and even some veterans like Asdrubal Cabrera, you know, really haven't been getting it done and have been on the bench, you know, more times than you typically would have thought. So it's not ideal. It's got to be frustrating, obviously, if you're a D-backs fan, but you can at least, you know, rely on the fact that the system is pretty good right now. They do have the 6th overall pick going into this year's draft. Certainly makes it a lot easier to kind of, you know, part with some of those veteran guys, but if you're just talking day to day, it's not a good time to be a Diamondbacks fan. The Suns are distracting the entire city of Phoenix and the entire state right now.
At the very least, they got a basketball team that's super fun and exciting. They have a run differential, Patrick, of -97. That's the second worst mark in baseball.
And they've been bad at home too, 11-19.
Yeah.
At Chase Field. I wanted to call it the Bob. We should come back and call it the.
I know, right? I know.
The stadium formerly known as the Bob.
The Bob. So they're eating it. Obviously, just above them, you know, your Colorado Rockies not doing especially well. They're at 29-41. You know what it is. Still in the hunt for worst record in baseball, top pick if that's what you want. But as we'll talk about as we go through here, plenty of other pretty terrible teams in baseball who are just those reverse standings, man. They're going to remain competitive all year. I'll tell you what, no one's got it locked up. No one's giving it away.
Competing for the top of the reverse standings. One of the interesting things too, again, for better or worse, is, you know, the Rockies have essentially won as many games as you would expect them to, right? There's an expected win-loss record based on run differential for anyone who's saying, well, who cares how many is scored and how many isn't? Because if you get blown out, you know, 15-1, that shouldn't count as more than one loss, right? It's 15, sure, it's one loss. And if you win a game, you know, 4-2, you know, and your pitchers were kind of lights out after the first inning and didn't give up any hits after that point, well, yeah, that was kind of a no doubt win for you. But over the course of the season, if you're having a lot of 4-2 wins and you're getting blown out 15-1, there's a good chance you're very much under 500. So that run differential allows you to kind of figure out what the expected win-loss record is. And for the Rockies, their expected win-loss record is only one more win and one less loss, of course, than they have right now. So it's been right on the money. And that breaks down evenly for home and road. Like their run differential has been exactly that. It's been abysmal on the road, and their win-loss record matches that run differential. But for the Diamondbacks, they've won 20 on paper. Rather, they've won 20 in actuality on the field. But on paper, they should have won 26 games. So, again, I don't think you chalk it up to Tory Lavullo, you know, doing a poor job managing in the dugout and any kind of decisions like that. Some of it is just, you know, being unlucky, as it were. And I think some of that can extend to their 14-game losing streak. The fact that they haven't won a game on the road since they were the Phoenix Sidewinders in 1972, if we're going to rewrite, if the Tampa Bay Rays can have fullbacks, then you know what? The Diamondbacks can be, or actually, they should be the Phoenix Serpents. That's what they used to be before they rebranded.
They're going to have to.
If we're going to make that up. But yeah, if you're bad, you're going to be bad. And they're bad.
And that's the other thing, right? They're also just not very good. And neither are the Rockies. And so both of those teams are actually right where kind of I thought they would be. Remember, I did pick the Diamondbacks to come
in last in this division. And I did not. I said Diamondbacks would be ahead. So at this point in the season, I would imagine you would stick with that. If we were to just say record from this point on, from June 18th until the end of the season.
Oh, that's interesting, because the Diamondbacks obviously have course correction coming. There's no way they're this bad forever.
Yeah.
I do think the Rockies have some minor course correction coming themselves. And so it'll be kind of, they'll be going along with each other, but just their records for the rest of the year. I wouldn't be surprised if the Diamondbacks are slightly better, but still end up with the worst overall record, right? With them being 9 games back right now.
Right.
If they gain 2 or 3 games on the Rockies, that wouldn't be shocking, right?
And if Arizona does decide to, you know, to cut bait and get rid of a couple of their veteran guys, David Peralta, and I mean Josh Reddick isn't a guy they plan on keeping around very much in the first place. You know, a nearly 36.
They could lose 120 baseball games if they really want to pack it in. And,
well, if they want to get rid of, you know, 36-year-old Asdrubal Cabrera, like those guys they aren't key pieces. Whereas the Rockies, you go, hey, Givens is helping secure a couple games and some, you know, hold on games. Trevor Story, we know, you know, the value that he has on the field. John Gray, they almost have bigger pieces. Even CJ Cron, for what he's been able to chip in, they can lose more, right, at the deadline than the Diamondbacks.
They really could. I think the biggest one, though, is what you didn't touch on. The Story is the biggest one. That's the biggest difference. But he hasn't even really been playing like Trevor Story this year.
No.
So you don't feel like you're losing much off of this version's team, right? You're not losing a superstar. I'm making sense, correct?
Yeah.
The bullpen guys, imagine if they do the smart thing, which is trade at least two, if not all three, of Daniel Bard, Michael Givens, Carlos Estevez. That would net them probably some pretty fun and interesting prospects that would have us feeling a lot better about the farm system, a lot better about the future. Yeah. And you've lost guys who almost certainly, other than maybe Estevez, weren't going to be a part of your future anyway. And you got something for them. But imagine how bad this bullpen would be just for the rest of the season. It's already terrible. You take out the three best guys, and now who's your closer? Like, legitimately, if they traded all three of those guys, is Tyler Kinley your closer now?
Yeah, that is an interesting question. Like, who gets the most saves right. of those three guys? I mean, does Justin Lawrence kind of do a circa Estevez in 2016, right? Totally. When he was the closer for a period of time,
yeah.
You might as well give him the ball in that spot to increase his value. You know, down in AAA, you know, those guys are struggling because it's the Pacific Coast League. I mean, the PCL should also be called the NFL because it's the not fun league.
Yeah, right.
But NFRL. Lawrence has been great. He had a sub 2 ERA and 9 outings and 9.1 innings pitched. You know, when Givens went on the IL on Thursday, Lawrence was the first guy up. He was down there at the field looking nice and chipper. Happy to be back at altitude, at a lower altitude.
Paycheck, baby. Big league paycheck. For those of you that don't know, if you get called up for one day, and yes, I did learn this from Jordan Patterson, who was called up for exactly one day and did not get into the baseball game and was sent back down to the minors, you get a big league paycheck for that day. And the difference between a minor league paycheck and a big league paycheck is enormous, even for one day. So Justin Lawrence, happy to be back.
Yeah, the per diem that you get is also really great too. That's
nice too.
It's a steak dinner at the least. Yeah, I mean, in AAA, I mean, you got Jairo Diaz, Jesus Tinoco, Joe Harvey are three names you go, okay, yeah, those are names you're familiar with that, you know, can take the roster spot. Chris Russell and Zach Roscup are also there. And then maybe, you know, you give a shot to some of the newer young guys. Well, frankly,
dudes, yeah.
Yeah, they're not, you know, Logan Cozart and Chad Smith aren't young. They're both 28, 26 respectively. Yeah, but
those are the guys you use in those types of situations. That's why you put dudes like that in the organization. But
and there's waiver claims too. There's other guys that will slip through.
Yeah,
those teams that say, shoot, you know what? Maybe this guy's a little more banged up, so you can stash a guy for the future. Again, that's part of the flexibility that you have if you're a team that's not in contention and can acknowledge that. Is you say, hey, we have a lot of roster flexibility, whereas we can afford to like pluck this guy off of waivers. And I mean, the Rockies were able to do it with Adam Ottavino when he was left exposed by the Cardinals in April. Again, we're not talking about a guy who was left exposed in the second half of the season when you knew, hey, we're out of it. No, this is in April when you had just broken camp and said, hey, these are our guys. This is our 40-man roster. No, they made room for Adam Ottavino, and that became a huge, huge piece for them in their 17 and 18 runs of the postseason. So, again, those are some of the benefits if you empty out your bullpen and you go, these guys are driving me crazy. Well, guess what? You can go and get one of those magical seeds somewhere else and hope that if you plant it, a beanstalk will grow and you may get killed by a giant. This analogy has fallen off the rails. But I think,
I was there with you.
Once the beanstalk grew, it was good. That's where the story should end.
Right.
It should
totally.
If they made it into, you know, a sequel and series and a trilogy, it ends with the beanstalk actually growing. And you go, those magical beans were fantastic.
Those beans. All right, I have to set the table here for you for the rest of the NL West conversation before we move on to the rest of the league. But this strawberry sky from our friends at Breck Brew has run right through me, so I'm going to need to let you pontificate on your own for just a moment while I take care of some business here in just a second. But to bring everybody up to speed, there is a clump here at the top. Of course, of the National League West, the San Diego Padres, the darlings of the offseason, who a lot of people picked to win the NL West, still at this point in the season, six games back not undoable by any means, and comfortably over 500 with a 39-32 record. It's a 549 winning percentage. Just behind the Los Angeles Dodgers at 41-27, a 603 winning percentage. But they still somehow remain 2.5 games back of the San Francisco Giants, who are 44-25, a 638 winning percentage. They don't have as good of a run differential as the Dodgers, but there are those Giants still in first place. Patrick, please explain to the people what's happening.
All right, let me elaborate here for the next 17 minutes. No, it won't quite be that long. But, you know, I did mention this back on May 1st, that there is evidence to show that teams that are in first place after the turn of the first month of the calendar, right, going into May, there's evidence to suggest that those are teams that end up sticking around for the long haul and staying above 500 and making the postseason. And so we said, hey, what's more likely, the Giants win the West or the Padres miss out on the playoffs? And everyone said, well, I don't know if Michaela and Drew were able to wrap their heads around that one, because the more likely scenarios are two extremes. There are two extremities that are going on that are hard to wrap your head around. And frankly, it's more likely that the Padres would have missed out in the postseason. That's what I said at the time. And in a sense, that's what's happened right now. They are on the outside looking in. They are at the sixth best record in the National League. Huge win last night, Victor Caratini with the two-run home run. Great finish to that Reds-Padres game. If you didn't see that, go back and watch the condensed version. I believe even if you're not a subscriber to the MLB At Bat app, you can still at least see a condensed version. It's like a three-minute version. There might even be a longer six-minute version where it goes through all the highlights, and you can see a four-run ninth inning by the Reds against that struggling Padres bullpen, and immediately followed by a four-run bottom of the ninth at home in San Diego by the Padres. So the Padres definitely, you know, shouldn't be counted out. But the same can be said, as I just elaborated on, with the Giants, because if once you've got a hold on it, once you start doing the thing, you got the team starts to believe it, and it really becomes a reality. We saw it last year with the Miami Marlins. Now, granted, it was a 60-game set, but if that goes on even longer, I wouldn't have put it past that team in that year, right? Just in that moment. Once you've got a sampling of what something is, you can then say, hey, wait a minute, we've got something. I didn't think we had anything on the first day of the season, but now we do have something. And the Giants do have something. It's one of the reasons why I thought they'd be, you know, the third best team in the West. I think a lot of people may have guessed, and that's partially because of their, you know, proclivity to not throw it all out the window and start over from scratch. They still had all those veteran guys. I mean, shoot, what's happening with the Giants is almost identical to what's happening with the Cubs. They're having one last hurrah from that 2016 yeah. team, and they say, hey, we got Baez, we got Rizzo, we got Bryant, all going to be free agents at the end of the season. I think Hendricks doesn't have very much longer left on his deal. Same with Kimbrel, who, of course, wasn't around in 16. But still, you say, it's one last ride. Unless they keep it together, you know, when they're probably not in that division with, yeah. with a surging Brewers team, a Cardinals team, and yet here the Cubs are doing it. That's one of the things that a veteran club can do, is they know how to win. They know how to hang on and persevere over the course of a long season. And even if you say, hey, we only just got past the 60-game mark, the Rockies have only played 70 games, but you know what? It's still a long season. Those 70 games are long to do it every single day. And to say, hey, you know, you're just barely a third of the way into the season, there, that is a skill that only veteran clubs know how to do. And the Giants have one of those winning veteran clubs. So to go back where I started, what's more likely, the Giants win the West or the Padres miss the playoffs? I said Padres miss the playoffs, and so far that is what we're seeing, because yeah. a team that has the lead in the turn of the calendar on May 1st, there are odds to suggest that they will continue to do that.
What's wild is in that conversation, all three of us unanimously, you, me, and Michaela, said neither of these things is particularly likely. The Giants aren't going to win the NL West, and the Padres aren't going to miss out on the postseason. But both of those things are looking more and more likely by the day. I don't know if you noticed, but the San Diego Padres just got swept by the Colorado Rockies.
They did indeed.
That happened. And, you know, but again, the Padres have a lot of time to get it together and a lot of talent and a lot of ability. But all the things you said about the Giants are also true. I still don't think the Giants win the NL West. But they've done this for long enough, as you said, that if they happen to be, you know, the ultimate spoilers for the Padres, if they end up coming in second and nabbing a wild card and the Padres do miss the postseason because the Giants were better than people like me expected. You had them. I didn't. You were talking about that earlier. I had the Diamondbacks being terrible. You had the Giants being decent. And I thought, it was a weird little flash in the pan. They're too old. They're too old, I said to myself. And apparently Buster Posey and Brandon Crawford have found the fountain of youth.
They did.
That these guys are playing like they were 5 years ago. And you just go, well, how was I? I didn't. Excuse me. I'm terribly sorry. I apologize. You know, ooh. And one of my secrets has always been I've always kind of liked that Giants team. I don't know. But I give hints on the podcast. Tim Lincecum, I talk about him a lot. But even Crawford, I know he kills the Rockies. I know it's frustrating. I know a lot of people really hate him and his hair for some reason. Posey's a guy I've always liked. I like those guys. And to see him have one last hurrah, as you put it, it's kind of fun.
It's funny that the young guys in their roster are their starting pitchers who are, they're all about 30 years old.
Yeah, they're
on the button. But that's been a huge part, is that, you know, Kevin Gausman has been one of the best pitchers in the NL. And your boy, Anthony DeSclafani, Disco, he's been great too. So
Disco,
they've been able to do that with starting pitching in a major way. And it is strange to think that we could be living in a world in which the Giants win the West and the Dodgers are 27 outs from not going anywhere in October. Amazing. But they won the World Series last year, so you but it is strange because they're supposed to be the world beaters. They're supposed to be the team that is comparable to the 98 Yankees as far as being incredibly dominant. But they've had their share of injuries. And
it's so funny because I was so adamant with you and AJ that the Padres weren't going to win the NL West because the Giants are just too legit and we haven't seen the Padres yet. And the Dodgers, they're just the thing. And you can't unseat the crown before you tell me that you've unseated the champion, you know. And then it's the Giants are just doing it. And you're just like, okay, that also works. I'll take that too, but absolutely wild. Let's call a quick audible here. And just do the National League. We'll leave the we'll catch up on the American League another time. But let's get you. Let's. I don't want to give the rest of the NL the short shrift here. So let's make sure that we're diving into it in full capacity. Let's also make sure that we're selling a little bit of Hassle Cattle Company beef. You know, it's my favorite in the world. I absolutely love when we fire up some ground chuck, some ground beef. That bacon is life-changing. Ooh. The hamburgers are award-winning. The steaks are to die for. You got to see. We got members posting on Twitter and in our Discord channel. If you subscribe to the channel, the way they've been cooking up their steaks, and some of it is some NSFW type of stuff. It is absolutely amazing what people are doing with their Hassle Cattle Company. Wagyu beef could change your life. They're treating the beef well, no antibiotics, hormones, any of that garbage that gets into your system that is terrible for them, terrible for the environment. You don't want any of that. You want better tasting meat, which absolutely is. And you don't want it to cost more than you get at the grocery store. And it doesn't. It's so good. You guys have got to check them out. Use the promo code DNVR10 at Hassle Cattle Company. That's HASSELL cattlecompany.com. If you order over $200, they'll hook you up with free shipping. Right now, if you buy three, you can get one free on their flank steaks from Hassle Cattle Company. They're absolutely delicious. Goes with anything. Still have zero negative reviews on their beef. It'll be worth it.
Toot, toot. You know, before you did say that you're about to set the table and you were all ready to go, and you set the table for, well, you set the table for a bathroom break.
I did.
You didn't set the table for Hassel Cattle Company, which you literally do almost on a daily basis.
Very true. Odd, but true. All right, let's move over to the National League Central, where the Pittsburgh Pirates are another one of the teams that are actually worse than the Colorado Rockies. They're at 23-44, a .343 win percentage. They're 15 games out of first place in the NL Central. Not really a surprise. You expected them to be bad. They're actually the team that's worse. They have the worst run differential in all of baseball, just edging the Arizona Diamondbacks, who have 97, with a negative 100 run differential at this point in the season. Down by them, a little bit of a surprise here, the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, not really down by them, because they're down by them in the standings. They're much close to the top. They do have a winning record here, the St. Louis Cardinals, at 35-34. No one really running away with this division. There's a big clump here in the NL Central. They're four games back of first place, so plenty of time for the Cardinals to pick it up with their negative 31 run differential. Cincinnati Reds sitting there in third place. A little bit of a surprise. Maybe they've got a decent team, much better at home. We obviously just bore witness to that when the Rockies rolled through there. 35-32 record for them, three games out of first place. Only a negative 2 run differential. The Milwaukee Brewers, we've talked about, had been hot, had been having a good season. Obviously got beat by the Rockies last night, but still at 38-31, only one game back of the Chicago Cubs, who we were expecting to have maybe not been competitive anymore. They were supposed to be falling off. They're on the wrong end of their, as a team, aging curve, but there they are at 39-30, best record in the NL Central, but just by a game. So that could change. They could be tied with the Brewers by the time you're listening to this. But they do have that plus 38 run differential, substantially more than the Brewers negative 4, much more than anybody else in the NL Central. Chicago Cubs have been, by any measure, best team in that division.
And they are easily the softest tossing team in all of baseball. You know, this offseason when they made that trade with, I guess it was the Padres, right? Because they ended up getting Zach Davies along with Kyle Hendricks. They just have a bunch of Alec Mills. They have a bunch of soft tossers.
Yeah, I knew Hendricks was a soft tosser, pain in the head. Oh, he's so good. I love watching it, but I also hate watching it.
That sounds very insulting to call someone a soft tosser. It also sounds like something that has nothing to do with baseball. Yes. He's a real soft tosser.
A little soft tosser.
And of course, Davies did go over in the Yu Darvish deal. But yeah, you know, that whole division has been a lot better than expected. I mean, even the Padres, maybe to a degree, you go, oh, they should have won 9 games at this point. You go, yeah, it's the Pirates. But you know, 23 wins, okay, whatever. That's fine. Yeah, the Central has been pretty consistent. It's been strange too. Again, you had the Pirates sweeping the Rockies, then you know, the Reds also swept the Rockies, but then now the Rockies are doing it to the Brewers, who were just swept by the Reds,
right?
And the Rockies swept the Padres, and now the Padres just beat the Reds. It's this weird thing going back and forth. It's like in WWE when they have these 50-50 splits, 48 minutes, 59 seconds, where, hey, you'll beat me this time, but then we're going to have a rematch. It'll be a draw. And then the third one, the final way to end the feud, I'm going to win that one. So really, you won half, I won half.
Yeah.
It's kind of this win-win thing. But the Central was a division that I really thought was going to be one of the worst overall from top to bottom. And, you know, if you look at their records, they're all around 500. I mean, the Brewers, while they are 7 games over 500, their, you know, Pythag, their expected win-loss record is about 500. Cubs are 9 games over. They're actually playing like that if you look at their run differential. So we'll kind of wait and see what happens. This is pretty much what was expected to happen this season, where everyone was going to be around 500, but a lot of the projection systems didn't have, you know, this division going really well. So we'll see what happens. Again, if you like the Giants to kind of continue doing the thing, then you got to like the Cubs, because they seem very same much story, cut from the same right? cloth. Yeah, yeah.
Same basic story. These guys are finding the fountain of youth. They're doing the thing. You go, all right. And one last note from me on the NL Central before we get to the super chat. Cardinals, grass isn't always greener. Well, a little bit greener. Sometimes the grass is just grass on the other side of the fence. Sometimes I saw a tweet the other day from, I think it was Derek Gould, you know, St. Louis writer, great longtime St. Louis writer.
Who's Colorado just, native.
Right. And I was saying, man, feels like Arenado's been playing pretty well lately, but nobody else on this team is, and they're totally stuck in the mud, and they're not as good as they should be, and the entire fan base is mad and wondering whether or not he's going to opt out and go to L.A. or New York next year. And I said, wow, that all sounds incredibly familiar.
Yeah, that's an interesting story. Also, it is interesting that they would be worrying or thinking about that when they are over 500. Like,
they're right there. They just one good run away from being in first place, but they're also one bad week away from being comfortably under 500.
But that's expectations, right? Yeah. That's what happened when I was younger, why it almost became less enjoyable to root for the Yankees, because the expectation was to win the World Series. And then when they didn't, I mean, sure, they did, 4 to 5 years. You go, okay, great. I'm happy more than I'm not. But then when it's just you're going to the World Series and you're losing or you're getting knocked out in the ALCS, you go, what are you supposed to be enjoying this? Like, only one team can win it all. So I think when you have those expectations of man, we're going to dominate, and you look at what they've been doing, it's like, yeah, they probably should be dominating, especially a resurgent year from Yadier Molina has been great. Sure, rookie Dylan Carlson has been, pretty good, but again, still a rookie. So what do you expect?
I need him to be a little better now.
Yeah, the rotation has been questionable. Yeah, Jeff Flaherty going down with an injury.
You know what they could really use? Austin Gomber.
Burn. Yeah, that they true. Really could.
It's no, they, straight up, it's true.
But, it's 100% true. They only have one lefty right now in the rotation and Kwang Hyun Kim, who's been all right, but they you're right, they very much could use Austin Gomber in more ways than one.
Throw that one in there a little bit. All right,
that's Jacob, that's a good one.
Who apparently I missed you. You threw this too late in. I saw this at the end of one of our other shows, and we were logging off. Apparently, Jacob thinks I look like Mike Fultonavich. So we can get a poll for that. We can find a picture somewhere. I don't know. We'll find that on YouTube.
It's good. It plays. I think that plays.
He wants to know, before we wrap up the NL East, any reliever to add to this team, who would it be? And I think, Jacob, philosophically speaking, both Patrick and I don't think that adding a reliever right now is really not a thing to do. You want to add stuff in a little while. But really, if you're just sick and tired of blowing games and you'd really like to see someone come in here and restore some of your sanity, and you're not concerned that much about all of these other things, you just go and get whoever's the best closer in baseball right now and slot Daniel Bard. Is it Liam Hendricks? Is it who's been great this year? Because it has
in the American League?
Just anywhere. Oh. I was trying to think.
Well, Matt Barnes and Diego Castillo are doing
Barnes
a good job.
Matt Barnes is a phenomenal season.
Holding it down in the AL East. But Jacob, and thank you for the super chat. I like what you're getting at with this, because sure, the team needs help with the relief corps, and whether or not they win more games or not is a little bit irrelevant in this season of transition. But this is an area you do want to add when you are trying to make a trade, right?
True.
You're saying, hey, who's a young guy we can bring in? Yeah. Who's controllable? Who's a piece? I mean, again, you look at someone like, Josh Hader is almost a household name at this point. But a couple of years ago, when he burst onto the scene, you go, wow, what if we would have acquired a guy like that? And in fact, Milwaukee did it. If memory doesn't escape me, I think they had acquired him for Gerardo Parra.
I think that's right.
In a deal over to the Orioles before he signed with the Rockies. So you might be able to poach one of those type of guys and say, all right, we got a major league piece, but we think he's going to be really good in the future. So it's not a superstar prospect, but he might be the second guy in a deal for Story Gray or something of that ilk.
Yeah, I think you can target those types of guys for sure. Raisel Iglesias was one of those players who was rumored early in his career. He was always in some kind of trade talks. He was one of those guys who was kind of a hot commodity, young player, but a prospect when the Reds weren't very good, and he's in the bullpen. And so every trade deadline and every offseason is like, well, they're going to move Raisel Iglesias. And I always thought, so you got to find the next version of that.
The funny thing is, for Jacob's like, Jacob, I not to put words in your mouth, buddy, but I'm thinking you want a reliever, you know, to help out this season and help with the headaches. But the thing is, the reliever that you're going to get, like a future closer, is going to be a guy that's a headache to his current team. And why he's being put on the trade block. So it's a catch 22 there, you know?
Like what Justin Lawrence is right now. You know how you're like excited when they're like, Justin Lawrence is coming into the game. Like he's going to throw a 99-mile-an-hour sinker. And then you're like, yeah, but he doesn't know where it's going. You're like, all right. Yeah, but he's going to get it going, right? Maybe, right? And we're going to find out. We're all going to find out together. But yeah, get a few more of those types. You need to increase the number of Justin Lawrence's that you've got in your organization. And so obviously, you know, we don't always know those guys' names. They can be diamonds in the rough out there. But you find them, you get them. I like that question.
Speaking of diamonds in the rough, here we got Mike Foltynewicz. Great call.
I don't hate it. I don't hate
it. No, you absolutely should like that. I mean, the beard's definitely on point. He's a tall guy too, as well, for people who don't know. Drew is tall. How many inches you got on me? 3? I think you might have 3 inches on me.
I'm 6'3.5". It depends on, you know what I'm. Yeah, that
you got 4 inches on me then.
It's the 6'4". Yeah,
you got about 4 inches.
So tall guy. And Charlie Blackman is comfortably taller than me. So, and I think he's listed at 6'4". So maybe I'll knock off that half. Let's get rid of that and list me right at a solid 6'3". It's got to be in shoes or something. But no bone. I'm all elbows.
Lanky. Is that a word you like or you don't like?
I don't mind lanky. It's true. It is what it is. It's the word.
The L word.
It is what it is.
All right. Well, if we're gonna do comparisons, I want to say I'm kind of disappointed. I'm disappointed in everybody watching this right now. If you do listen to the podcast, we'll give you a little pass, but still, you should be on the ball just a little bit. But I have not gotten any comparisons yet. Again, the mustache first came out, or rather, when I first was hired by DNVR. Right when I first debuted, it was also around the time that I decided I wanted to be a mustache man. It was around the same time Ian Desmond had the same thought.
He did.
And so I kind of had Desmond's situation. That was his year into the company. Okay, people are starting to recognize me, notice who I am. Tony Walters busts out the stash. Thankfully, the clubhouse was able to contain both of our stashes at the same time.
Just barely, though.
And now for the last year two, I've been the stash guy. Well, we've got a new stash guy. I don't know if anyone has seen it. You should have seen it. You should have reached out to us. Mike Yastrzemski. We already talked about him.
Oh, I hadn't seen the Giants.
Had you not seen, he's got the mustache with the soul patch.
That's fantastic.
He's got a t-shirt now, Mustache Mike.
I could do without the soul patch. I'm 50-50. I don't hate it, but I could. But the mustache is a 10 out of 10.
That's me right there. That's me.
I would have thought, like, if he walked up to me looking like that and was like, hey, buddy, what are you thinking for the podcast earlier? I would have just started talking to him like he was. I would have thought for sure. There a little bit with the hat off, because the hair is different enough, right? I would have been like, nah, the hair's not right. But when he had his hat on, I thought, that's Patrick Lyons.
Could be. Oh. Yeah,
that's you.
Who's who? Who's who? Yeah. Why am I wearing Giants gear? It's a comp. You gotta have those comparisons.
Should we wrap this thing up or should we do the NL East also? Or should we just leave it hanging out there?
Now that's a different East Coast bias, Drew. That would be East Coast bias.
Like those guys don't get enough coverage out there.
Yeah, I thought the NL East was going to be the best overall division. You know, they actually have one team over 500. Yeah. Phillies at 500, and you got Atlanta, Washington, and Miami scrapping. But Miami is the best last place team.
They're the best worst team in baseball, yeah.
By far, they're the best worst team, yeah. Nationals have had their injury issues, unfortunately. Scherzer, we hope, gets back soon enough. Atlanta, you know, is going to be around there as they're scrapping a little bit. Philly, I did like. I did think they're going to be a bit better. And the Mets are doing it, and Francisco Lindor is finally kind of gotten off the schneid after he saw that big rat.
He was
or a raccoon or whatever it was. Scrapping.
Bear living in his closet.
Yeah, having that little scrap and little dust up down in the alley with Jeff McNeil. He's played a decent amount better then. And so and you gotta hope Jacob deGrom is healthy too. It's crazy to think that the Mets pitching staff has been so fantastic with Stroman and Taijuan Walker, and they've done it with now Noah Syndergaard. Oh yeah, I remember that guy. Is he still a thing? He's almost from that Matt Harvey era where you go, yeah, Matt Harvey and Noah Syndergaard from a decade ago.
No, Syndergaard was good, man.
Harvey Day, yeah.
I missed that.
Shout out to Anil Apiro because I saw him yesterday at the Blake Street Tavern.
That's good.
From Mile High Sports. He was there. He says the prime rib there is excellent on Thursday. Okay. But again, Hassle Cattle Company, beef, Wagyu, every day. It's not a special. We just always have it at the DNVR bar at the corner of York and Colfax. But we were talking to him about how, you know, he's getting some vibes off of Austin Gomber, almost like with Matt Harvey, where it's this appointment viewing. And it's just very curious, you know, how things have been going for him right now. So
like that.
You know, Mets are interesting, seeing if they can continue to do it. Man, both teams coming out of the West? I don't know.
I think so. I don't think those other divisions are very good. I don't think those teams are deep enough or good enough. I think the scary thing will be if the Giants continue, then it really is the Dodgers, Padres, and Giants are all the best teams in the National League. I think that could very well be where the season ends. Like, really? Like, we weren't bad enough. We had to play all of those guys 19 times a year.
Right. The Giants are taking the true last wild card, right?
Yeah,
because you go Dodgers, Padres from the West.
Yeah.
One's a division winner. One is the first wild card team. They're going to get home field advantage. So there's one wild card up for grabs in the NL, and the Giants are like, I don't care that we're in the same division. We're going to take it. So someone in the Central is going to get jobbed out, and they're going to miss out. Someone from the East is going to miss out, and it could even be Atlanta.
Yeah, wow. Who both Michaela and I had at least getting to, if not winning, the World Series this year. So,
true.
Hey, that's why they play the baseball games. Don't do it on paper. Got to go out there and play. Oh, Jacob, you are far too kind. We did do a whole show about the sticky stuff a couple of days ago. So we can try to hit me up on Twitter if you're on Twitter for that. I can link you to that one to make sure. If you I promise you, first do DNVR Rockies and then sticky balls. Don't just type in sticky balls to YouTube. I cannot be held responsible for what happens. But if you type in DNVR Rockies, sticky balls.
DNVR balls actually gets you 20% off on Manscaped, but it has nothing to do right now with foreign substances. But yes, anytime you got a super chat, we're going to slide it in and shoot. Even if we end up being here for 2 hours, so be it. We are here for you. But we did talk about it. Monday is actually when all the protocols going to go into play. One of my issues with it is that this is now another duty for umpires to do. Are we going to see, you know, the pace of play become a little bit longer, right?
Well, I've got a job I can take off their hands if they need a little more time to devote to something else.
Yeah, very true.
Stop calling balls and strikes, then you've got all day to focus on stickiness and
frisk guys like it. You know, they're the corner man in a boxing match. Hey, you got too much Vaseline on your eyebrows here. Let's go ahead and compress this. Where's your mouth guard? All that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens on Monday. We'll get into this in another podcast, but pretty much don't expect too much change at Coors Field because that sticky stuff might not really play that much. It plays everywhere else for the most part, but It'll be interesting to see what new statistics, not new statistics, but what the statistics will be starting from that now June 21st endpoint. And at a certain point, I don't think umpires are going to be enforcing it quite as much. They did say it's going to, they're going to pull back the reins a little bit, and then it'll be on the managers to say, hey, go out there and check on that guy. So it's going to be like it's kind of an overcourse correction.
Every year the NBA comes out and goes, hey, this year we're going to call traveling. No more traveling, you guys. We're calling it now. And then 3 weeks into the season, they're like, oh, LeBron can kind of take 4.5 steps. So whatever. It's no one came to see us call traveling. It's like, so that'll be interesting to see if it goes back to that of like, whatever. But we will almost certainly do an update and take a look at all those numbers that Patrick was just talking about, because it's a fascinating story. So cool. Keep hanging out with us. When we do that update, watching the game, see if the Colorado Rockies can continue to be dominant at home, no matter who they're playing. Maybe in a while, see if they can be a little bit better on the road. Could they be worse? They can't. Well, the Diamondbacks. So I guess
can they play like a crappy team on the road rather than a historically bad team on the road?
That's the question we'll be asking.
Be like crap. Be like crap. Yeah, that's
that'll be our chat moving forward. Chant it with us on all the social media. Hit us up at Patrick D. Lyons, at Drew Kreisman, at DNVR_Rockies. Do make sure you're subscribed to the DNVR.com for all of that written content and all the discounts and the access to the Discord channel. The free shirt, the free holistic stick, all that fantastic stuff. And just be absolutely awesome baseball fans out there. We'll continue to be absolutely Patrick Lyons and Drew Kreisman in here. And until next time, we will see you at the ballpark.